Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. How are you all today? Everybody okay? Were you all caught in the rain? Just a light drizzle. Were you caught in the rain? Was it heavy when you... Still okay? Okay, so let's get started. We have our weekly retro where we'll go around and those who are new will introduce yourself. Yeah, so tell us your name. Yeah. Your name and how you got to know about this group. Up to you. You can sit down and you can stand up also. Okay.
I'm Marcel. I was in the SGC group chat for a long time, but this is my first time coming here.
Ah, I see.
I always wanted to come, but now I get the chance.
Ah, good. And how do you get into the chat group to begin with?
I actually forgot.
You can't remember how.
Like 1 or 2 years ago, I forget.
Ah, okay. Well, good to have you join us. Welcome. Ah, I see. Welcome. Where were you all studying?
I just graduated from NTU.
NTU. Have you seen me at the Buddhist Society before?
Yes.
So maybe one of the programs and then somehow.
Yeah. I asked around and they told me
the chat. Is it Zhuang? Zhuang. Zhuang, huh? Zhuang, yeah. Okay, good, welcome. Who else is here for the first time? First time left side, I think the rest are all season parking holder. Very good. Make sure you renew your sticker. On the right side, yes, hello.
Hello, Husun.
Husun?
Yes, good to see you all here.
Yes.
Yeah, I joined just aware of this activity yesterday night. Just trying to catch up with. In actual fact, it's just to catch up with my old roommate.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Bernard. We attended a Fa Hui before, so we share room together. Not only room. We share a bed.
On super close and tight.
Almost there.
Okay, don't go into too much details.
This is Yuanfen, so yeah, just happened to be here today and just see what happened.
Right? Yes. Very good. Welcome.
Hello, my name is Roger.
Roger.
I came in Buddha.
We
all met each other in our staff's family.
I see. Very good.
Nice.
Welcome. Who else is here? First time. Okay, I think the rest are all season parking holders. Okay, very good. So, welcome to SGC. So, every week, we have our group cultivation together. The current timing is 1 to 3, and we'll have a short puja, short meditation, and not so short dhamma sharing. Yeah. So, every week we'll have a topic. So if you are not in the chat group, you are in the chat group already. Those who are not, you can add yourself in. Who should they look for? Doreen. Where's Doreen? Doreen, the lady behind. Yeah, raise your hand. Keep your hand up. They can see you. Okay, so look for her at the end, and she'll add you into the Telegram chat group, and then you can be kept updated on programs. So sometimes we'll have a series, yeah. Sometimes we'll have an individual topic every week. So a few weeks ago, we had this topic on Communications 101, how to quarrel effectively. When I shared this with a friend today, she was like, wow, that's quite controversy. Usually in Buddhism, we try not to quarrel. In fact, even when you have displeasure, it's seen to be very un-Buddhist if you even raise your displeasure. Yeah. So we tend to be, just everything just go with the flow. Everything just ni lai sun so. Yeah, just accept whatever comes. So suddenly we have a topic called how to quarrel effectively. Because the thing is, a show of hands, how many of you have never quarreled in this life? Yeah, I knew it. I'm not psychic, but you know, as a person, perhaps especially in Singapore, it's almost inevitable for us to get into some arguments. Yeah, the question is, what happens at the end of the argument? To me, there's nothing wrong with having arguments. Yeah, it's what you get at the end of it. Yeah, do you get more understanding at the end of it? Or do you just find out who has a deeper lung capacity to argue? You know? Yeah. Do we just outshout each other, in an argument? Or do we really sit down and get to know what the other person think? And if we do that, the latter, then I think it's not so bad, because we are all unenlightened, and we are all different. Yeah, different background, different in so many ways. Even in one family, we are different. Parent and child have different background, because the parent was brought up by the grandparents, and we grew up in very different landscape. Yeah, so everything being different, how can we always agree? So rather than simply glossing it over, whitewashing it, and appear like we are in harmony because we think similarly, real harmony is when you can know the difference, and be able to still be in harmony. That's true harmony. So a few weeks ago, we went through how to quarrel effectively. Then last week, we had a break. The previous week, we had the Dharma Day sharing. So 3 weeks ago, we had another session, living with anger. Yeah, because sometimes, as much as you try to quarrel effectively, you fail. So what happens when you don't quarrel effectively? You get upset. Yeah. In fact, usually we get upset when we quarrel. Yeah. Anybody ever quarrel and then end up being happy? Anyone? Oh, tell us a bit. Just a bit.
I was happy that day.
Oh, you were happy that day. So, after quarreling, still happy?
Yes.
Oh. So, what was the outcome of the quarrel? Just in brief. You purposely go and quarrel with someone.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, in many classes, I always tell people, like, nobody planned to quarrel. So you really plan. It was an impromptu plan, of course. You were happy that day. Wow, that's interesting. Usually, in my class, I usually say, when things are well, you're happy, everything is good. You wouldn't think of quarreling with people, right? Now you have proven me wrong. But why did you choose to go and quarrel with that person if you're happy and everything is okay?
I think like the past where...
The mic, please. Thank you.
Oh,
really? So So in the past, that person gave you some inconveniences. So you wait for 初一. Yeah. Or 十五. You wake up and then you look at the stars, the morning star, is it the right angle? Okay. And then you 算一算. Today I shall win my argument. Let's do it. Is that what happened? Impromptu lah. Okay. So when you went to find the person to quarrel, then what happened? Don't have to go into the detail, but did the person quarrel with you when you tried to quarrel with that person?
Yes.
Oh, so the person also took up the challenge.
I'm not really sure about
that. Oh, okay. But he quarreled with you lah.
Yes.
Oh. And what do you get out of the quarrel? Why do you feel happy? This is a very interesting thing. Huh? You don't know. 就是爽啊. 报仇雪恨. Huh? Is it?
A bit.
Okay. Thank you. Wow, this totally make me shift my worldview. My world used to be just like that. Now it has expanded. Yeah. But jokes aside, well, that was not the joke really. Good for not just you, for all of us to think about it. If you buy a movie ticket. Why would you buy a movie ticket? Like when you do buy a movie ticket, what do you expect? To watch a movie, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Really excited. It's like, yes. Yeah. So, but is it just to watch a movie? Yeah. Yeah. There's a certain expectation to enjoy the movie. Yeah, it's not just to watch a movie. Watching a movie is just a very pedestrian process. You know, just sit there and just open your eyes, keep your ears open and just... Yeah. And sometimes, for some movies, it really gives you that experience. That you're just like... And when it's like that, then after a while you're like that, and after a while you're like... and you're just gone. Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes you'll just go outside and then and don't sleep. No, you will sleep. Like, when the movie is really boring, then sometimes people will just go out and get a Coke, get some popcorn and just enjoy. Yeah. The point is, when we do something as simple as just buying a movie ticket, yeah, how much does a movie ticket cost? Huh? $10? Is it about 10? 10, 12, thereabout?
Yeah.
When I first watched movies with my family, I think it was about 350. Yeah, 350 or 3 thereabout. Yeah, a long time ago. Whether it's 350 or 10, that's another thing altogether. The key thing is, when you spend that money, you expect to get something out of it. Yeah, $10 is just. It's just a certain amount of money. Our time, yeah. When we spend time to quarrel with people, yeah, you are investing your life in that person. You know, yeah, you are investing your life in that person. That's why when people come to look for you to quarrel, you should look upon that person not with anger, yeah, but with a sense of tenderness. Because this person is investing that life in you. Yeah. Maybe not in the way you want, but it's like birthday, right? Sometimes people buy you presents that you don't want, but you have to appreciate it. Yeah. So quarrels are something like that. Yeah. Think about it. Sometimes when you go out with your friends, high tea for lunch, they're not paying as much attention to you as when someone is quarreling with you. When someone is quarreling with you, they are like almost 100% on you, you know? Yeah, and they demand and expect that same attention. If they are quarreling with you and you just do your own things, what do they do? Hey, I'm talking to you, you know? Yeah, so you see, quarreling is a very engaged process. Yeah, you have to be wholehearted about it. You cannot be half-hearted about a quarrel. Yeah. So I'm surprised that you did it impromptu. And then, good to think about what you want to get out of the quarrel. You know? Yeah, because you're engaging someone's life also, you know? Yeah, so we had a topic called living with anger. Yeah, because sometimes it fails, and then you have to live with the consequences, which is anger. Yeah. So 3 weeks ago, we went through that. The whole process of how, you know, we go through a lot of discursive thoughts and we spin, yeah, about certain subject matter. Of course, it matters to us. Yeah, and then we go around and if we were to observe ourselves closely, then you see that the inclination towards anger starts way before that incident. Yeah, which is why oftentimes when there's an outburst, no matter how you try to address that issue, it doesn't quite quell that person. Yeah, because that is just the tipping point. That is just the spark. Yeah. It doesn't address the whole state, whole stack of haystack. Yeah, that is there. That has been building up. It's the whole build up. So today, our topic is breaking up with anger. Yeah. You have lived with anger already, you know, maybe we should consider breaking up with it. Yeah. So, again, how many of you have experienced anger? Raise your hand. Yes. Yeah. This is the customary hand exercise in my class. You always get to raise your hand. We all have experienced anger before. Yeah. So today we're going to spend some time to look at breaking up with it. Yeah. What 153 Sunday? What? Oh, you're reading that text, huh? What? Sintaiji. Okay. What is today's date? 5 August. Huh? 5 August. 5th August. 5th August. Yeah, otherwise you can also say 508. 0508. Yeah, so today is 5th of August. What is the year? What is the year? What is the year? Huh? 2018. Very good. Not bad. Okay. So, 5th of August. Today is the day all of us shall break up with our anger. Are you all ready to break up with your anger? Say yes. Huh? Not all of you. How many of you want to, like, start a relationship with your anger? So, let's take anger out of the picture first. Let's look at breaking up. When do we talk about breaking up? When do we talk about breaking up? Breakups? Do you break up with your cab driver? You don't have to, isn't it? Yeah? Why? Why do we not break up with our cab driver? I know it sounds silly, but I want you to think about it. Why do we not break up with our cab driver? Huh? Ah, because there's no relationship to begin with. When you get into the cab, what happened? Are you all related? You're not related in the usual sense of a relationship. But in a way, there is an informal relation. You are the passenger, he's the driver. The difference is that kind of relationship has a predefined lifespan. So it's not the same as our usual sense of relationship, isn't it? We are not in a so-called relationship with them. But in relation to them, we are the passenger. In relation to us, they are the driver. And because it is a predefined thing, you don't really have to break it up. It ends by itself. Except if your driver decides to stalk you. Then it becomes awkward, Every morning when you call Grab, hey, it's the same driver. He's just parked there like half an hour before you go out. And then he's like, just refresh, Grab, yes! And even when you grab somebody else, he's there. That'll become awkward, isn't it? That'll become awkward. So, there are many, many different kinds of relationships we are in. Only some of them need to be broken up. What are the ones that we need to break it up? What are the ones that we need to break up? You mean I'm the only one in this room who has ever had a breakup before?
Those that cause us suffering and pain.
Yes. Toxic people. Yes. Now, do not be mistaken. It may not always be boy-girl relationship or man-woman relationship. Sometimes we break up with our friends, platonic friends, because they are toxic, because they bring us suffering and pain. So, let's just jot some of these things down. Okay? So, first case, taxi driver. So next time when you take a cab, then you will think about this. Just as you don't have to break up with a taxi driver, there are some things in our life that we shouldn't have to break up. It comes to an end by itself. But then there are some other relationships that are that bring us pain and suffering. People that are toxic, anything else about any other kind of relationships that demands or requires us to break up? The funny thing is that sometimes, although those relationships that bring us pain and suffering should be broken, people who are toxic to us, we should break up that kind of relationship. But sometimes, relationships has another nature about them, which is that usually when we form relationships, it also means that we have become comfortable. If we are comfy with it, and with comfort, it also means that we are used to it. And so as a result, sometimes even when the relationship has become toxic, some people may have a question mark about whether people are toxic or are the relationships toxic. We can take a look at that later. But sometimes even when the relationship is toxic, harmful to us, hurting us, bringing us pain and suffering, but because we are comfortable with it and we are used to it, then we don't bear to break up. We don't bear to break up. That's why in Chinese there's a term, there's an idiom. Yeah, not idiot, there's an idiom called 藕断丝连. We have heard this before, but it's only recently when I was having a meal, and then the you know, the 莲藕, yeah, and then as I was eating it and then tearing it, then and that moment, I saw, oh, 藕断丝连, that's what it means. Yeah. So sometimes it's important to eat different food, you know. Yeah, there's a lot of dharma to learn from food. Yeah, 藕断丝连. And at that moment, I can almost like, it became visceral. How relationships are oftentimes like that. Not all, yeah, but oftentimes. Especially those that you become so used to. Attachment is nothing else than getting so used to it. Oftentimes we think about attachments in terms of greed. Yeah, we almost intuitively like, oh yeah, we are greedy, we are attached to things we are greedy for. Yeah, we are attached to things that give us pleasure, but not all the time, you know. Yeah, it may, those things that give us pleasure may be the initial draw, yeah, but for attachment to set in, oftentimes is that we get so used to it, so comfortable, so at ease with it, yeah, that we feel like it has been like that for all the while. It should continue. Yeah. And so we get blindsided. Blindsided by what? Blindsided by this sense of comfort that even when it's toxic and it's giving us pain and suffering, we come back to put it aside. Yeah. It's just like how when we are kids, most of us grew up with bolster. Yeah, you know bolster? And then bolster have that string. Yeah. How many of you suck on that string? It's a nice taste, you know. Giam giam eh. Yeah. Don't laugh. Those who laugh, all of you do it. Yeah. Yeah, this is a very, very Asian thing, very Chinese thing, I think. Yeah, sometimes no more bolster, then you take the pillow case, the edge. Yeah, the kind of things we do. And then our mummy, being our mummy, right, for our own good, then change the string. They were like, no, that string. You change your new string, no taste. Yeah, that shook, different taste. Yeah. Have you tried? Have you tried? Yeah, never tried before. Too young. Do you have a bolster, a small one? Oh, the bolster is bigger than you, So have you tried the string? Make sure your string is organic one, then you. Yeah. So sometimes we are like that. Yeah. Including be it bolster or the blanket. Yeah, even though it's a bit torn here, we hold on to it so dearly. Yeah, we are so used to it. We are so used to it. And it extends beyond just external things, even the way we are. Yeah. A long time ago, I was much heftier. Yeah, when I was in uni, and then later on coming out to work, I was tipping 90 plus kg. At some point, the weighing machine says I was 98 kg. Yeah, I know, it's quite amazing. Yeah, how much you can keep in you if you really try. I know there are a lot of people who tell me, "Sifu, 我吃不胖的." Trust me, if you eat like me, you will. You will put on. And if I'm being honest with myself, the mindset was basically, oh, because I'm relatively tall and because I have some heft, so I must eat that much. Yeah. And then when I really reflect on the mindset behind
behind all those decisions about food. I realized that I was quite comfortable with how I am, you know? And I was concerned with maintaining how it looks. Yeah. But not so strongly, of course, because eventually I lost 20, 30 kg. Yeah. 20 plus kg. And then over the years, there were once or twice, I heard somebody making a statement similar to that. That either themselves or others, that they have been having this figure or image, and if they were to lose weight, others will feel like, hey, what happened to you? Yeah, because for me, some of you know me only recently. So this is how I look like. If I were to suddenly become 98 kg, you'll be like, wow, sifu, wow, fa fula. But to my friends back at work, uni maybe I wasn't so heavy yet. Maybe 70 plus 80. So if you know me in the late 90s or even early 2000, then you would think that I have lost weight. You think that I have lost weight. Yeah, but that's how people look at us. Even more importantly is how we look at ourselves. So physically, we also become used to things. Yeah? We become used to our certain hairstyle. Yeah? And that's why when we see people go for hair for hope, yeah, how do we feel about them? Do you know hair for hope? How many of you have gone for Hair for Hope before? Is this just recently Hair for Hope?
This one before.
The one before. Okay. Never quite come back, huh?
No, come back, then one more round.
I see. So, the reason why we feel, when we hear of someone, you know, going for Hair for Hope, how do you feel about people who go for Hair for Hope? Admirable, isn't it? Yeah, why? Why is it admirable? Seems quite obvious, right? Of course, ma, supporting cancer, ma. What if the person just cut one strand of hair for hope? They also hair, ma. Why? What's the difference? Think about it. Yeah, hair for hope has been around for a long time. Yeah, for quite a while. Yeah, and I'm sure we have either directly participated or supported others who do it. Yeah, and we may have heard of people who say, oh, I cannot do it. Yeah, why cannot? It's because just the hair, we're so used to it. We're used to a certain look of ours. Yeah, so giving that up is not easy. Yeah, even though it grows back. Yeah. Even for that short period, we're not used to it. So even something, well, to me it's trivial, yeah, like hair. Yeah, not everybody can do it, you know. Show of hands, how many of you, those who have not gone before, how many of you are ready to just, yeah, moment's notice, next week, okay, have a hope. How many of you? Okay. Yeah, you notice it is usually those who's not much hair. I once wonder, hey, can Sifu go for hair for hope? Then go there, then the fella, you like cai tai as well. But I don't need you to shave, I do myself. I mean, it's still hair, ma. Yeah, but maybe I have to grow it a bit longer lah, to have more effect. Yeah, so not just our hair, yeah. From outside things, we can get used to it. People outside, things outside, to our physical body. Yeah. How we look, how it feels, and so on. We can get used to it. And once you get used to it, you hold on to it. You go on to it. Similarly, the way we feel, yeah, even to the point of anger. Sometimes we are so used to it that we just can't stop. Yeah. or sometimes it's not anger directly. Yeah, it is the relationships that is causing us, bringing so much pain and anger. But we hold on to it. We either hold on to anger directly, or we hold on to the relationships directly. So, anger. So, breaking up with anger. In many ways, we have a relationship with anger. We may not meet our friends so often. Anger in many ways is closer to us than our friends. You can bring anger to the toilet. Usually you don't bring your friend to the toilet. You can bring anger to bed. You don't bring everybody to bed. You can wake up with anger. There are usually not many people who get to wake up with you, except for, you know, when you go for retreats. You also... and you can bring anger with you to attend, to go for anything. Yeah? Whereas you don't always bring your friends to all the appointments you are going for, including going to work, going to a wedding dinner, anywhere. You can bring anger anywhere. And many times, if we don't deal with anger, then anger is almost like our shadow. The Buddha in the Dhammapada shared this, that if a person were to commit evil unwholesome deeds, then the karma follows him just as the axle, the wheel follows the cow, just as the shadow follows a person. When we have anger, we tend to act in ways that is evil and unwholesome. So, our anger. Yes? So, our anger. So we have to ask ourselves, are we on such an intimate relationship with our anger? What I've listed earlier is the potential intimacy. Okay? That potentially anger can be with us, all the time. But the question is, do we want to be in such a relationship? What do you think? Depends. What does it depend on?
Anger do help in moving forward.
Anger, what?
Do help in moving forward.
Anger help us to move forward, indeed. Anger can be a driving force. Can you all think of one example where anger seemed to help us to move forward? What are those occasions where anger seemed to have a positive impact in us? That it can help us to move forward. When are the cases where it helps us in this way?
When we are angry with ourselves for doing the wrong things.
If we are doing something wrong, and we are angry with ourselves doing it, then it gives us a motivation to change from wrong to right. Whereas if we are doing something right, and we condone it, we are happy with the wrong things we are doing. Then it does the opposite. So in some very specific case, we could in a way say anger can help us. Another way to look at it is that
instead of letting it develop all the way to anger, it is a sense of discernment. To discern correctly that this is right or this is wrong. And then to, Chinese we call it 测立自己. That means to exhort ourselves. The trouble sometimes is we are quite zumpui, quite stubborn. So sometimes we have to really bite, you know, grit our teeth. Yeah. And sometimes to the extent of slapping ourselves, wake ourselves up. What other cases would anger be okay? What other cases would anger be okay? Any example? Where anger can help us move forward?
When you miss when you want to do, just miss a little bit. The next, you be angry with yourself. For not taking the one more step.
Okay.
So when you try somebody, you saw it, it's very hard to move up.
So you notice the similarity? Yeah? In this case, it may not be about right and wrong, but about lost opportunities. So in both, but the common thing is, both are about changing ourselves. Is it the same as how we usually have anger? Towards who is anger directed towards? Anger is usually directed towards others, isn't it? So in a way, when we direct anger towards ourselves, in particular, shortcomings, that is a bit different. Yeah, it's a bit different. But one should be careful, because otherwise, it can become a sense of self, self-loathing. Must be careful. Anger towards others versus towards oneself. What am I doing? This can lead towards, this can develop into self. How come my spelling is self-loathing? So you have to be careful of this. Yeah, this is not helpful. Are there any other cases where we would consider anger to be okay?
All revolution in history is actually started with anger towards the current establishment. Then, because there's a need for change, the things as like maybe there's a tyrant, whatever it is, then it usually comes out from anger, and that anger becomes the driving force for change. So in a way, there is some good out of it from that anger towards others.
So, in both cases, anger is a force of change. Yeah? Force of change. Yeah? We seldom see revolution being revolutionists with smiling faces. Although as I'm saying this, I recall some documentaries and pictures, articles about the flower power during the 60s. I mean, I'm not even born yet. During the Vietnam War, where in US, they held peaceful protests. There were some images about protesters marching towards the troops who were basically with, you know, M16, AR-15, and bayonet and everything, like on guard. And then this lady, with a stock, with a flower, actually put it into the barrel. Yeah, there's this picture that became like famous. And that embodied the peace movement. Yeah. So that most revolutions, is driven by a displeasure towards the current state. Yeah. The question is, while the displeasure can give rise to anger, but we can also see in some cases where it doesn't lead to anger. Mahatma Gandhi, him as a person, there's a lot of background story about how he has some problem. But as far as his protest, his silent protest, his fasting, his peaceful protest against the colonial government, is yet another example. In Vietnam, the Vietnamese monks, they self-immolated. They didn't go and fight with them with anger. Of course, there's a question mark whether self-immolation, to burn themselves up, whether that is a right thing or not. But they were not like burning themselves and then running at people to burn them, with anger. But yet we cannot ignore the fact that anger seems to be a force of change. It seems to give us courage, give us strength to get things done. Because when we don't feel angry enough, so to speak, sometimes we can't bring ourselves to speak up. And it's only when we get so upset then we feel like, I have to speak up now. Seems to be, huh? You wanted to add something earlier.
Saying like towards the children, towards the students. So sometimes you have to practice the tough love. You have to get angry, then you can teach the students tough love.
Very good, quote me. So sometimes as parents, as teachers, we appear to be angry to them. Question is, do we just appear to be angry or are we really angry with them? That is the difficult part. Easy for us to just be angry with our students, to be angry with our children. But why not? Why don't we just be angry? Why should we separate that? To just put up an appearance of anger, but not really be angry. Why so mafan? And isn't that hypocritical? You just act angry. You are not really angry. So there's something about anger. That perhaps is not so ideal. So the Buddha described this using the analogy of a pond, and he described different mental states of how when a person is agitated, filled with anger, it is like the pond, that has all the sand and dirt all stirred up. So a person with clear eyesight wouldn't be able to see what is inside. Instead, when the mud, the sand, the sediments have all settled, then a person with clear eyesight can see the hyacinths, the lily, within the pond, of different colors, different shapes and sizes. The Buddha, when we look at the sutta, I often highlight how the Buddha would also scold, sometimes tell off his students. But we don't see the Buddha displaying anger. He even called people, "You foolish man," or "You foolish monk." When did the Tathagata say that this is okay? But I like to think that he said it in a firm way, but not with anger. Not with anger. So, despite all this,
not to deny or to dismiss our own experience, that yes, despite all this, it seems like anger does give us strength. Yeah. Anger seems to give us strength. But anger don't just give us strength. Anger gives us many other things. Some would say anger can give us sickness also. But that's another thing altogether. What does anger give us? Besides strength, what else does anger give us?
Pain.
Anger gives us pain. Is this true? How many of you agree with this statement? How many of you disagree with this statement? That anger can give us pain. Do you all remember a few weeks ago, one of the exercises was to go and recall how it feels when you are angry. Can you all remember? Yeah? In one of the retreats, I also asked participants to try to recall a moment where you are angry, yeah, and try to remember how it feels, and then switch from that memory to the present moment, to just observe the breathing again. Yeah. One student, at the end of the retreat, shared with me that that was the first time she tried that, and it was quite liberating. Yeah. That when she recalled that memory, when she was angry, she really felt the anger. But then when she shifted from that memory to the breath, the anger really subsided. Yeah. The anger has no hold on her. Yeah. And from an agitated state, then the body and mind just calm down. Yeah. Now I want you all to do this exercise now, just the first part. Try to recall a time where you are angry. Yeah? When you're angry. Try to pick the one that is more exciting. Yeah? On a scale of 1 to 10, pick between 8, 9, 10. Yeah? Don't pick the level 1. 10 is like super upset, okay? Yeah, don't pick the 1, 2, you know, then later you say, no, anger don't do anything much for me. Can you recall? And when you can, then I want you to try to recall how you feel. Besides anger, how does anger affect us? And the crucial thing is to really try to remember. Not refer to some books, some Dharma talks, yeah, some self-help book telling us, oh, anger can do this to us, do that to us. No. Go and observe, try to recall yourself. Yeah. Now, some of you may recall clearly how it was like. There will be some of you who may have difficulty actually recalling. Yeah. And that itself is part of the experience. That when we are angry, we're blind to many things. It's almost like we're having amnesia, you know, of that moment. All we can remember is the anger. All we can remember is that person is wrong. That person made me upset. And everything else that's actually happening, we don't have much memory. So if you cannot quite remember how you feel, there's a high chance that's what actually happened. Yeah. Because when we are angry, one of the things that happen to us is it preoccupies us, it dominates us, it rules over us, it overwhelms us, such that we become subject to anger. Yeah. We become the subject, not the object. We're not in control anymore. But if you can remember, how would you describe it? How would you describe anger? What it does to us? Would you say that it gives us a pleasant feeling? Oh, Shifu, whenever I have angry people, my palpitation just goes away. Like, I'm short of breath usually, But when I'm angry, wow, my sinuses clear. You know, everything like, yeah, all the qi mai all chong tong. I don't know if that works for you. What can I say, you know? Yeah. But chances are, it's not. I'll share with you my own experience, okay? Don't judge me or laugh at me. I mean, you can, lah. It's okay. Yeah. I've shared this in some classes and in retreats. There was once I was... we were having a Sangha meeting back in the monastery in the US. So this is our bi-monthly meeting. And we'll just go around and discuss whether there's anything that came up and whether there's any changes needed and so on. So there were some disagreements, yeah. And at that point in time, I was one of the few novices. The rest are all bhikkhus, bhikkhus, if you will, fully ordained monk. I was just a novice monk. I was getting quite upset because I feel that they are all ganging up against me. Oh, 欺负我. Yeah, how do I put it? Seems quite ridiculous. Huh, Sifu, you like that one? Yeah, we all go through that. The question is whether you stay like that. It's okay, I mean, in the path towards enlightenment, we all go through all kinds of funny things. The question is whether you stay that way. Do we have a choice not to stay that way? We have. But at that moment, I was so upset, I just stand up and just walk out. Yeah, I must have said something to them. I can't even remember what I said to them. Yeah. Yeah. It was not anything nice. I didn't shout any expletive, to be fair. Yeah. I didn't say anything vulgar or anything, but I just make my stand and just walk out. After all, I was not a kid also, but although I'm a novice monk, yeah, I was in my late 20s, maybe 29, 30. Yeah, so by any standard, I'm not a kid. But, yeah, you're trying to, what, so there was this, although after you're ordained, don't think that you just shave your head, put on a new set of clothes, then suddenly you, Amitabha. No, 开玩笑. Yeah, 去打听打听, not to eat me. Better make sure your bite is strong enough. So I was having this, I just gave them a piece of my mind and walk off. I think they were quite stunned. They were like, what? Yeah. Storm up to my dorm. Wow, I don't know how many doors I opened and slammed. But as I'm going out and slamming doors, I also know that whatever I'm doing is wrong. But yet, under the control of anger, you just couldn't care less. You just couldn't care less. It's almost like if there's an assembly, right? If your mind is like a hall of senators, right? Yeah, a parliament. Then there's like maybe 2-3 guys. Like, guys, maybe we are doing the wrong thing, and the rest is like, shut up! Like, tie them up, tie them up. You know, and the rest of them, like, yeah, let's show them what we are made of. Yeah, we really feel powerful, in control. We want anger give us control, make us feel that we are in control. And that's the lie. That's the trap. Make us feel like we are in control. Feel. Not denying that we feel that way. Only make us feel that we are in control. But actually, we are being controlled by the anger. And with that sense of control, wow, we say what we want, we do what we want, and then I storm off. But then, as we are going up, the 3 guys up there, like, no, 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 no. And then as I walk further and further away, yeah, I went back to my room. For some reason, the 3 guys managed to untie themselves. And we're like, guys, come on. So there was this internal conflict for me. Sometimes when we are angry, there's no conflict. Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes when we are angry, there's no conflict because the whole parliament up there all agree. Yeah, yeah, that was good. You know? That day, three of them, maybe more, I don't know, were like, gosh, what have you done? Seriously. Yeah. And so that day, went back to my room, and I decided to meditate. Yeah, because despite everything, the rest of the also know that, you know, yeah, that was not right. So I tried to meditate. Yeah. And then when I sat down, yeah, in my room, that was the first time in my life I couldn't meditate. Not that I'm a good meditator, but that was really my first time I really couldn't meditate. Mine was, wow, what a mess. I've never experienced this before, no. In my lay life, you know, cool as a cucumber, everything. And then suddenly go ordained, become a monk, go to the monastery. Whoa. Incredible how. Oh. Yeah, so got to my room, I was like, wow, this is crazy, this is amazing. How can this be? I sat there and applied all the techniques. Observe the breath, breathe in, breathe out, count. Or count, you don't know what happened. And I was so upset, I could feel my body trembling, you know. Yeah. Now, I know some of you are thinking like, oh, no, it's Sifu Bing, what's happening? Amitabha. I'm sharing this with you, not to tell you that it is correct. I'm not here to tell you that it's wrong also. I share this with you. When I think back, recently I told some friends, some students, I'm very grateful to all the things that I've encountered. Now I can think this way, that on that day, I was not very grateful. Like, grateful? Are you crazy? If there's one guy up there who's like, Speaker of the House, I'd like to just, you know, put on record that there's some sense of gratitude. I think he'll be banned, like locked in the cell, in the dungeon for 10 years or something. No sense of gratitude at that point in time. But after all these years, when I think back, yeah, I'm very grateful. I'm grateful not because I think that they are right, not because I think, oh, they were trying to do me a favor. I'm also not grateful in the sense that, oh, I'm so thankful that they make me angry. But I'm grateful for the whole set of circumstances, regardless of their intent. You know, usually when we learn Dharma, then we try to sort of, in a way, psycho ourselves. Oh, they are our teacher. I mean, you know, it's inside the teachings, ma, you know. But you must read those texts carefully. In the Ru Pu Sa Sing Lun that we go through, when we look at the actual text, the Venerable Shantideva, he never say that those people who hurt us, who harm us, who do those things, are really trying to teach us. No. It's that we should see as an opportunity to learn. That these are opportunities for us to practice. So regardless of whether they have kind intent or not, whether they genuinely for your good or not, doesn't matter. If you want to cultivate, you must stop thinking about that. If you want to think about that, go and start a law firm. Yeah, to decide who is right and wrong. Yeah, if you want to go into what is your intent, go and become a detective, go and become a policeman. Don't be a cultivator. Cultivator, don't bother about people's intent. Only bother about your own intent.
whatever people do, their intent is their karma, not your concern. Unless you are the teacher, then you have to waste time. Yeah. Spend time, don't say waste. spend time. Yeah. And even for me, I'm a not so compassionate teacher. So if you, sometimes I will ask my student, so do you want me to like teach you or not? Just tell me, you just tell me the one, then I will leave you alone. Make it easier for the two of us. And I don't say this with spite. I say this matter of fact. I mean, like, I'm an adult, you're an adult. You know, like, what? So now when I think back to not just this particular incident, there's so many incidents, we're all full of defilements. Some people think, walao eh, all monks cultivated in the monastery, how can you all should have a lot of peace? No. It's precisely we are not pure, not perfect, yeah, have defilements, that's why we are trying. Then imagine all these people put together in a mountain with nothing else to do. Oh, confirm, not that kind of 干柴烈火, but it's the boom, nuclear explosion. Oh, 三天两头几个星期就要, yeah, so even when we chant 大悲咒, yeah, 早课晚课, then you can hear. If everything is okay, then you hear the 早课晚课, very smooth. Dum. 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 Dum, dum. Namo Gua. So on. If not so good, dum, 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 dum. So when I think back to that night, that evening, I see how anger affects us. At least me. I don't know how it affects you, but I see clearly anger can do this to us. I see clearly how anger clouds our mind. How anger causes us to become not just mental, no, physically. Your heart, like, whoa, all the way up, still, not because of the walking, you know. Yeah. The mind is just so tense. Observe the breath, as good as not observing the breath. Unsettled. So yes, anger does give us strength. But it doesn't just give us strength. It gives us many more things. Anger makes us feel like we are in control. Give us control. Oftentimes, anger arises because we seem to lose control. What is control, actually? It is basically that things didn't go our way. It comes back to the I, the ego, the atta, atman, the self. Didn't go my way, so I'm upset. Have you ever seen someone like, wow, really upset? Then, hey, what happened to you? Got a promotion. Didn't you want the promotion? Yeah, I wanted the promotion. Then why are you upset? Exactly why, ma? I'm upset, ma? Some people do get upset because of promotion, because they didn't want the promotion. They get promoted and then it's like, you know, a lot, much larger scope, but increment of the pay is little. Yeah. So in fact, it is still the same, you know. It's because the increment didn't match what they want. Right? Yeah? Anger. Anger is about that. That we feel that we have lost control because things didn't go our way. In our wish to get back control, yeah, then we submit to this anger. It seems to give us control. Because in anger, then we have strength, we have courage. We can say things that usually we wouldn't say. Even things that is beyond protocol. Things that is not socially acceptable. When we are angry, it's like we are drunk with courage. And it brings us to a higher level to be able to articulate suddenly. Although to someone who is outside, we are gibberish. But to us, it appears like we are so clear and so logical, you know. And we're, raw, raw, raw. Wow. When we're not angry, we may even hesitate to even open our mouth. Yeah. When we speak to two person, one person, maybe we may even, you know, hesitate to have our thoughts aired. But then when we have anger, wow, we have such a good friend with us, yeah, to support us in our stand. Now, all of you don't agree with me. Huh? Anger agrees with me. I will show you who is boss. Anger can do so much to us. In fact, the Buddha described anger, the defilements, various defilements. The Buddha described it as a robber. A robber. Why? Because like a robber, it steals our merit. Yeah, it robs us of our merits. Rob us of our cultivation. Rob us of our peace of mind. So the Buddha wants to cultivate, you should look at the defilements, look at anger like a robber. Can you sleep at night knowing that there's a robber in your room? Can you? You can't. A robber is like, not robber, anger is like a snake. Yeah? Can you sleep at night with a snake in your room? For that matter, will you go into the room if the snake is inside the room? Yeah. Now, of course, there are some people who have pet snake and they like sleep the snake and everything. Buddha described, yeah, the moment you close your eyes and you sleep, then the snake will strike. When you're not alert, when you're not clear. But is there another way? Yeah, to achieve what we want. Because simply to say drop anger, then where do we find the strength? Yeah, where do we find the courage to speak up? How do we find the motivation to change? Yeah. We are so used to finding strength in our defilements, be it greed, hatred or delusion, that we sometimes, it feels like this is the only way. Not dismissing how we feel. Yeah, it is true, we do feel this way. But the truth is, there are other ways to find strength. Dropping anger doesn't mean that we become powerless. In fact, we become more powerful. It doesn't mean that we lose control. In the reverse, in fact, it's getting back control. To be in control of how we feel. Yeah? That no matter what people say, that we can still be in control of how we feel. You consider two persons. Yeah? In the past, both persons get upset when you say something. Yeah? Whatever it may be. And after some time, person A continue to be upset when you say that thing. Person B, after some time, in this case, Dharma practice, then when the same thing is said or done, the person is no longer subject to anger. The person can choose how to respond, how to react. Would you say person A or B is in control? Person
be, isn't it? Yeah. But we are not denying that person A feels control. This is called marketing. Yeah. Marketing makes us feel good about things that are not really that good. Yeah. Anger. We do our own marketing. Not that somebody else outside market to us. Yeah. But we are so intoxicated. But sometimes I reflect on this, I'm like, but who can we blame? For so many lives, we have been so used to it. It's like the best friend we have had for so long. It's like the bolster that we have had and sat on for so long. It brings us comfort. Yeah. So we don't know better. But it's okay. The Buddha has discovered another way to find strength, another way to find courage, another way to be in control. And that is without anger. That we can also speak up without anger. Not easy. I don't say it's easy. I don't say this path is easy. No. You go and look at all the YouTube clips, I never once say it's easy. In fact, it's difficult. Very difficult. Very, very difficult. That's why I don't say that, oh, you know, teachers, I myself, you know, that when we discipline, when we teach, I say that we should teach without anger. We may sometimes put up an appearance of anger. But I don't say that I'm always without anger. Because sometimes, wow, gong bei tia, then, yeah. And so a parent still argue here, argue there. No lah, won't pa lah. My home, my family, we use a cane. We don't like that pa lah. I always say pa lah. In my whole life, I only slept 2 persons. There are only 2 persons. If you are the third, well, you are very lucky lah. I only slept 2 persons in my whole life. One of them is someone very dear to me. Yeah. When I heard that she attempted suicide, yeah, family basically, this person, when I heard she attempted suicide, I walked into the room, went up to her, piak! What she's like. Then I told her, I'm slapping you because you have lost your mind. I want to wake you up. Give her a good scolding. Second person was my then girlfriend. We had a bit of a quarrel. Then from the MRT station, some stations away, I told her, okay, forget it. Let's just go back and rest. Then she insisted on sorting things out. So that's why I don't understand people. Really? Do you really have to like... like... Oh, piang eh. So she just tag along. Next time you have girlfriend, then you know. 死到不知道,我跟你讲. Oh, you got girlfriend already? Hey, underage like that. At this age, at your age, girlfriend to gao le, don't do anything else, otherwise, 刑事法 le. So, followed me all the way to Aljunied, then I said, just go back. She insisted. So I went back, all the way to, then it's Sims Avenue. So the traffic cleared, I cross over. When I turn back, the traffic has really started moving. And then, she didn't immediately follow because she was afraid that I would scold her. Then I turned around, then she ran across. And the traffic was coming and she ran across. She wasn't knocked down. I walk over to her, gave her a slap. Now, I'm not saying I'm right. You don't have to agree that I'm right, okay? I'm just telling you as it is. And then I told her, of course, slap her, then she broke down to cry. Then, so I hugged her. And I told her, I said, I'm slapping you. Because do you know how dangerous that was? You could have lost your life, you know. How long do you know me? I asked her. At that point in time, maybe about 6 months to 9 months. So I told her, I said, you only know me for 6 to 9 months. Do I deserve you to die for me? No, you know. No matter how much you love me, I love you, I don't deserve your life, you know. You shouldn't risk your life in this way. I'm slapping you because you lost your mind. You have forgotten that about your parents. I don't slap people out of anger and then beep, 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 beep. Just one time gao liao. Then I will give you a good lecture. Get free Dharma talk some more. Yeah. And at that point in time, I'm not even a monk yet. Already. Yeah, so I told her, I said, you must remember, she was probably about 24, 25. I was in R&D 26, 27. Yeah. So I told her, I said, you have known your parents all your life, and your parents have given you life, taken care of you and everything. What have I done for you? We just know each other for six. It's not that I don't care about her or what, no. But I'm trying to highlight to her. This is a very simple fact. Yeah. I like to think that at that moment, 她又爱又恨. 被打了,但是讲得这么有道理. But many times we don't act in this way. I'm quite an experienced quarreler. Yeah. And I've seen many people quarrel, had quarrels with different people of different caliber. Oftentimes people just lose control and the emotions just take over. And when that happens, then you just got to sit back and just wait for them to run out of energy. Yeah, because they will just rattle on and just start to spout nonsense. You must know that at that moment, the person is on fire. Don't bring the fire to yourself. One person angry is enough. You don't need two person to be angry. So when people go into that mood, I'll just wait until the person is done. Yeah, there was once I told someone, I said, you've known me for a couple of years. We have quarreled before. Have you ever seen me do this before? Have you ever seen me when I get into quarrels? Start to make false accusation. Start to make conjectures as fact. Start to call names. Have you ever seen me do that? As you said. Begrudgingly, no. I said, do I still speak reasonably and so on and so forth? Said, yes. I asked, so why do you do this? What are you trying to achieve? Anger makes us feel that we are achieving something, but in fact, all we are achieving is getting across the wrong message. Because when people are angry and they start to scream and shout, I mean, we all have been on the receiving end before, right? Ask yourself, when someone is screaming and shouting at you, does a person sound coherent? Oftentimes, no. And all, do you actually hear the message that person is trying to express? I don't think so. Maybe in a rare moment you can, but when a person is absorbed, consumed by anger, the person has lost it.
and we cannot hear what the person is saying. And that's a very crucial point, you know. Because many times we would think that the person has no point. But many times, after the fact, when you sit down, the person does have some point. It's just that we don't agree with it. There's a difference, huh? Whether we agree with the point or not, versus having no point. The trouble is when the person starts to scream and shout, we don't even know what the point is anymore. And what is the next thing we try to do? All we are trying to do is placate the person. Okay, I'm sorry. And I see this happening. When one party gets angry, the other person is just busy trying to remove the anger, which is not a bad thing, really. But then the underlying problem never gets resolved. And that's why it will surface again. So if you ask ourselves, what are we trying to achieve? If you're trying to get some message across, anger while giving us strength, power and courage, control, probably will not get you to where you really want to be in the long term. Short term, yes. Short term, it feels like you're getting what you want. Because people will say anything to just make you calm down. Yeah, they tell you, from today onward, you must listen to me. Okay. Right? Yeah. From now on, we follow, this is it. Yes. But the person is being forced. Right? It's as good as holding a gun. You want to listen to me? Right? Okay, fine, yeah. What can I say? Yes? Yeah, anger does that. And I hope that that is not what you want in the long term. Because if that's what you want in the long term, then you are in the wrong talk. Because then it means that you have made good friends with anger. Yeah, you have totally lost to anger. Yeah, time to break up. Amitabha. Do you have any questions or thoughts to ask or to share? I hope this sharing is not about telling you that you must do this or do that. Yeah, but I hope we all go back and do a introspection. Yeah, think about what anger has done for us. Yeah. Yes. Ah, yes. Very good point. Indeed.
It feels even worse than before the anger.
Yes. And that's for those who have a clear enough mind.
Because you have a set of code of conduct or your own set of standard to uphold your own personal behavior or actions or whatever.
Yes. Yes, indeed. And if you feel that way, two things, good for you. Good in the sense that it means you do have that standard of expectation for yourself, you know. But not so good in the sense that don't have to keep doing this to yourself. Good point. Yeah, because it's just like eating the next durian, you know. Yeah. When we eat durian, we tend to think about just that moment of eating. Wow. Shiok, ah. But after that, we usually don't think about it. So it's good to think about the whole process. What happened after that? Yeah. Do we get to where we want to be? Or do we end up in another state?
Yeah.
Initially, we have one problem. We get angry. Now we have two problems. Sometimes three. The first problem, second problem is the guilt. Third problem is now you get somebody else even more upset. Now you have three problems.
Yes. At the same time, the students are looking at you and the students are expecting us to behave in the right manner.
Yes, the standard as a model.
yeah, to look up for. The same goes not just for teachers in class, but parents as well, especially so for parents. Because teachers, at most, if you're a form teacher, maybe 2 or 3 years, yeah? If it's a subject teacher, maybe just 1 year, next year, bye-bye, you know? Yeah, you can have many teachers in your life, but parents, only one. Yeah. I mean, usually we only want to have 1% of parents. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, how is anger related to sadness? Because when usually something is unfair to me, I usually feel sad instead of anger.
Yes, sadness and anger, they are close cousins. They are all under the same family of aversion. So towards something that we don't like. So, you'll be surprised, people who are angry about something may actually experience a tinge of sadness as well. Yeah. And to some extent, to a large extent actually, the nature of these two are rooted in the same thing. Yeah. Basically, repulsion to a certain state. Question is how we respond to it. Not to suggest that you are powerless about the situation, but it is common for us to feel sad, especially in a case where we really cannot do anything about it. Yeah, not necessarily because we are powerless, but because some things are just beyond our control. Yeah, or sometimes it is where the window for us to do anything has passed, and that's why we feel sad about it. Yeah. Question is, what can we do about it? What can we do about it? Take for example, if a loved one passed away, we usually feel sadness, not anger. So, both are about things that we don't like, but perhaps anger is more linked to a sense of wrong. Yeah, that we don't feel is being justified. Yeah. Sadness is basically a situation that makes up, you know, that we don't want. Yeah, a mantra that I have been sharing recently. Yeah, I don't know how to chant it in Pali or Sanskrit. I know how to chant it in English. Yeah. Are you all ready for the mantra? Very empowering. It's called, do the next best thing. Yeah, I should go and find the Pali Sanskrit dhamma. Yeah, then ka ye wa wa, then feel oh very powerful. Yeah. Even when you give in to anger, I still say, do the next best thing. The other day in class, I asked them, I shared with them. Like, let's say, in the context of today's session, we maybe put in effort to not give in to anger. And we tell ourselves, wow, this makes a lot of sense. Then we can read more books, watch more YouTube, and you're like, wow, now all these talks and sutras and everything make so much sense. Everything gel together. This is the right thing, man. I should live my life free of anger. Wow. Gan si fu pu sa. Then, wow, we live anger-free for 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, even 5 days. And then on the 6th day, what is this, man? Wow. What happens oftentimes? Oh, 我的助教来了. What happens oftentimes is, it's okay, let him stay there. Yeah, don't disturb him. What happens oftentimes is,
we end up having this mindset. Because I didn't sustain it, then we give up. Have you ever encountered where you do some practices, you do, and then you miss one day. That day you miss. Whether it's meditation, whether it's prayers, or like what we are talking about, yeah, maintain anger-free days, and then suddenly, maybe it's not 6 days, maybe it's 60 days, regardless. And then because there's a break, you feel disheartened. And then we feel like, aiyah, so sucker. So that day I shared with them, I said, why do we do this to ourselves? Don't do this. It's okay, even if you miss one day. Why? Some days you skip lunch, right? Doesn't mean that, why are you not having lunch today? Yesterday not having, today also. Yeah, I missed lunch yesterday. I'm not going to have lunch again. We don't do that, right? Yeah? So why should we do this to ourselves in terms of cultivation? Not to condone ourselves, then today skip our practice, tomorrow also skip. Yeah, but not to give ourselves a second problem. You miss already. Quickly do your practice. So the moment you lose your mind and you have anger, yeah, let's say, like, you see something, usually it's you see something, hear something, or you think about something that has happened, then, you know, like, you want to go and find trouble, lah. Yeah? Let's say, the first thought, you lose it, ma. Doesn't mean that you must continue losing it, immediately bring in the cultivation mind. Kao liao. But let's say you didn't. Then you, oi! Then you can still stop, ma. Stop, lor. Then the person, yes, what? Amitabha. Then maybe the person, you watch out, you shout at me. Sorry. Yeah. I've seen before in the real life, two person, like, really getting hit, no? All it takes is for one side to back down, both sides. So whether in terms of days or moments, yeah, it's never too late to change, to cultivate. Okay? So including sadness. When something happens, yeah, sad. Sad for 2 seconds. Okay, gao liao. Yeah, at least you really feel something for the thing, ma. Don't be hard, totally heartless, lah. Yeah? But similar to anger, today we are not going into full detail. Sadness, like anger, is a response of something that we cannot accept, that we don't like, and so on. Yeah. But is this the only way to express our response? Yeah. Don't necessarily have to have only one approach. Yeah. It's just like cooking, ma. Don't always have to cook the same dish, ma. Just like eating, ma. You go to food court, does it jiak tanyo ma sian? So one is, since you like anger dish so much, once in a while, okay lah, kio tampo lai jiak. Tampo to hot, okay. Just to remember the taste, if you miss it so much. But don't have to eat anger every day. Don't have to eat sadness every day. Sometimes try happiness. I heard it's quite good.
愿消三障诸烦恼，愿得智慧证明了，普愿罪障悉消除，普愿罪障悉消除，时时常行菩萨道，阿弥陀佛，起立。